When we think of the Troubles, one of the images that comes to mind is a burning bus hijacked by either Republican or Loyalist paramilitaries. Driving a bus took courage and commitment. Taking a vehicle out, drivers wouldn't know what was in store, and they didn't have the protection the army and the police did. Tonight, a new BBC One Northern Ireland documentary tells those brave drivers' story. Buses on the front line will examine the often overlooked role these men played during the Troubles. Here's a taste of what's coming on TV tonight.
One of those iconic images of the Troubles is that flaming double-decker bus in the middle of a riot.
Buses made the perfect barricade, and there's always one coming along.
We were all equal then. We all felt the same fear.
We provided buses without favour to all sections of the community, but we got attacked by all sections.
In Northern Ireland, you can't run public transport from a desk in the office.
Who would have been a bus driver in Belfast? I was hijacked a total of 8 times.
I was just on the point of walking up to it to have a look when the bus blew up and was no more.
They are the real heroes of the past.
With all this degree of fear.
We'll continue to operate, no question about it.
Eugene O'Callaghan and Michael Dornan are both bus drivers. Morning to you, Eugene.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, good morning. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Well, Eugene, let's start with you. Just how dangerous did it get from your perspective?
Oh, it was absolutely appalling, absolutely appalling. Let's put it this way. I said many years ago that it would be difficult to find words to praise the men and women and that we should be eternally grateful to them for what they've done and what they've contributed throughout the Troubles. Yet that magnificent contribution in maintaining a service for the public has largely been ignored. And in order to provide that service, they paid in debts, they were murdered, they were bombed, they paid for it in blood, sweat and tears, and yet through their efforts there was maintained a degree of normality in Northern Ireland when all hell was breaking loose.
How frightening did it get for you personally, Eugene?
Oh, it was very frightening because I was the trade union official. I was regional passenger officer. And together with Werner Heubeck, myself and him, had to take decisions which weren't very popular at times. And we were always under threat and so forth at that time. Yet we had the situation with Harry Bradshaw murder, and I had an agreement with Heubeck. He would agree to pay them for 2 days to stay off till after the funerals. And I gave him an undertaking that I would get the buses back on the road immediately after the funerals. I had a meeting in Transport House, 600-700 bus drivers, frightened, terrified. I had to convince them that we had to go back on the road. We had already sacrificed too much for to give up. And, of course, I was getting the threats from the other side. If I put them back on the road, what would happen to me? But back on the road they went.
Yeah.
And at that time, you recall, that was during the Paisley strike. And the strike collapsed immediately after that.
Very important, Michael, to recognise just just what you guys were able to do to maintain some level of normality among the bedlam, Michael.
Yeah, well, Stephen, tonight will be a very emotional evening for a lot of people, especially those that lost loved ones during the Troubles. But I think it's so important at a time when a number of programmes are being shown relating to those dark days of the past that we remember the dedication and bravery that the bus drivers of Northern Ireland showed in keeping the services running. Remember, they were extreme times of danger. A lot of the times our drivers, as what Eugene has said, terrorists would have boarded from both sides at gunpoint and put explosive devices onto the bus and forced them to drive that bus. And that bus could have went up at any time. You know, it's easy. Everybody has opinions of the dark days of the past. But in my opinion, the bus drivers, because they were unprotected and on their own, they were the real heroes of the past. Because what they'd done, they were risking their lives just to bring a sense of normality back into areas which were considered no-go areas, where the people depended on them for their very existence.
There'll be a generation listening to this, Eugene, of course, that won't remember, sorry, Michael, that won't remember the barricades either side of Royal Avenue, people coming on buses to search them when they were getting into our city centre. There'll be a whole plethora of 20-year-olds and younger listening to this programme just wondering what we're going on about.
Well, yes, but don't really understand what happened either. Don't forget, there was the occasion when the passenger, after it had been through the barricade, found a parcel in the bus, give it to the unfortunate driver who thought it was lost property, put it under the seat and it exploded. It was a firebomb and the damage it done to him was horrendous. And those are the things which we remember about the barricades. Not the barricades themselves, they were unimportant. Yeah. All they done was delayed transport for a period.
Yeah, this programme's on 10:35, BBC One tonight at 10:35. As we've been hearing, buses were often hijacked to be burnt out and used as barricades. But what scared drivers most was being ordered to drive a suspect bomb to a set destination.
One driver was actually coming down the old park into the Crumlin Road area.
Two kids had come down the stairs when they were getting off and told them there was a bag up the stairs. Mister, there's a bag up the stairs.
And one of them handed the driver a package.
And he put it behind the seat, thinking it was lost property.
They got off, and as soon as he went to move off, it was an incendiary device that he didn't know.
It went off, and he was badly burned in that.
It took over a year and a half, for him even to recover the physical wounds. The mental wounds, never. And he had to retire through ill health.
And drivers from either side of the religious and political divide knew what they each faced in going about their work. There was a solidarity among them and their families.
We were just bus drivers. It didn't really matter what part of the road you came from.
We are and have been always a big bus family. Irrespective of your religious, your cultural or political beliefs.
But we were a family and we all shared one another's hurts.
We were all equal then. We were all comrades. Everybody would like to see, do the same job. We all felt the same fear.
I just want to play you one final clip from this. You can see it all tonight, 10:35 BBC One. There was frustration of passengers in some cases that actually saw them standing up to those who were trying to hijack their lift home.
Two young fellows got on and said that we were hijacking your bus. A chap sitting in one of the front seats, he overheard it and he jumped up and he hit one of these young fellows and threw him out on the street, and then the rest of the passengers joined in, and it was almost like a lynch mob. They threw the both of them off the bus and said, we've been out working all day and the last thing we want idiots like that getting on to hijack a bus when we're trying to get home.
So that's just a flavour of the programme tonight. Michael and Eugene, thank you very much indeed, boys, for talking to me this morning. Thanks a lot. Buses on the front line, 10:35, BBC One tonight.